Blog Talk Radio.
Gentlemen, good evening. I see so many new listeners, and I want to thank our last two guests for that. Welcome to episode number 24 of the Good Life Radio Show. The phone number is always 323-927-2966. It's a cool, rainy Monday night here in New York, the 23rd day of April, 2012. This is the third show this week. Look at me not slacking off and actually taking this second job kind of serious. Still, no website, some emails, we're going to get to that in a second. I really want to say we were lucky enough to be graced by Kentucky legend Cameron Mills on Friday, I believe we had him on Thursday, and Saturday we had Giants superstar, Super Bowl champion Chris Canty. He stopped in for 45 minutes to do an interview. Today I'm beyond stoked for a couple of reasons. First off, we're finally going wall-to-wall baseball. We've been saying it now for a couple of weeks, but we had Kentucky and some football callers call in, so that kind of put everything on hold, put baseball on hold, which is surprising. But you know what? There's 162 games, and we have a lot of guests, and Chuck's going to be doing the show with me most of the time with baseball, so I can't wait for that. Second of all, the Yankees are playing great. They're actually up 3-1 right now in Texas. CC Sabathia pitching. But tonight we have an awesome guest, and I figured we're huge fans, Chuck and I. Chuck's not joining me right now. I think he's actually doing NFL draft prep. He thinks he's Mel Kiper, but it's great. He's my man. But if you've been to a Yankee game before, or watched a Yankee game on TV, or watched SportsCenter, you know who our guest is. Sitting in the right field bleachers before every game, he does the roll call. We're going to be graced in a couple of minutes by bald Vinny Milano, head of the Bleacher Creatures. We'll do more of an introduction when he calls in. The Rangers actually just tied it up. In game six, we're going to go back and forth with the Ranger game and the Yankees game, just giving scores. We have a ton of listeners right now, and that's great. I know Vinny retweeted this. He has a ton of listeners. And after he's finished up, I'll put on his roll call. I'm pretty sure everyone already knows how awesome it is, what he does. Where do we start? I should have had Vinny on Saturday, and that was the actual plan. I apologize when he calls in, but Chris wanted to come on and finally do the show. The Yankees were down 9-0, and I'm furious. Listen, I know we can't win every single game. That's fine. But anytime you lose to the Red Sox, you can win 15 in a row. Anytime you lose to them, it's crushing. It really is. For me, being a diehard fan, it's crushing. They're down 9-0. I figured, okay, I'll sit around, read the papers, watch the game. All of a sudden, Teixeira goes yard. It's 9-1. All right. Still nothing. It means nothing. Fox goes to Philip Umber, former Met, throw a perfect game, which is good. I said, at least some excitement today. Yankees are down 9-1. In Boston, Umber pitches the perfect game, and the last play of the game was a ball. He did check his swing, but whatever, he gave it to him. We didn't want another Joyce on our hands. You go back to the Yankee game, all of a sudden it's 9-5. Swisher hit a grand slam. I said, okay, at least the game's getting respectable. And that's what you want. You want the Yankees to show fight. You don't want them to lose 11-1, 11-3. You'll take a 9-5 loss. You'll be furious, but at least they're going to fight back. Then all of a sudden, Teixeira goes opposite field with a home run, batting lefty. All of a sudden, the score is 9-8. All right, we might have something going on here. Now they're battling back. Now you're thinking, all right, we have a shot here. We have a legitimate shot to win this game. All of a sudden, next thing, they put up a 7 spot. Swisher again. He goes off the wall in center. Teixeira ground rule double to right. All of a sudden, the Yankees are up 15-9. They come back with a phenomenal win. Right when that game's over, I run upstairs. Now I have the XM radio going, listen to the Red Sox feed. I run upstairs, I put on WEEI, the Boston sports radio show, and just hearing those callers call in, furious and just pissed off, and callers and the sports show host were saying it's the worst loss they had. The worst, and that's what they said, the worst loss. A-Rod just went yard to give the Yankees a 6-1 lead. We're not going to do play-by-play. I know people are watching the game, having me on the background, but anytime A-Rod hits a home run, that's big. And that's huge. I think Texas right now, as we stand in the middle of April, I think Texas is the best team in baseball. Their offense is phenomenal, especially led by Josh Hamilton. Their pitching's great. They lose C.J. Wilson. They're still great. The closer, Joe Nathan, it's the only thing I really worry about is Joe Nathan. Not worried about it. I hope he does horrible. Hope he implodes every game. Rangers game 1-1. So all of a sudden, I'm listening to WEI, and we have these fans calling up saying it might be the worst loss they had. And this is with some people in 100 years. Obviously, the 100-year reference, because Fenway Park opened up 100 years ago, and the Yankees won both those two games, which was great. You know what? The Sunday game, you're always excited for a Sunday night ESPN game. The game gets rained out, and as a Yankee fan, you're feeling okay. You're feeling good with it because it just lets the Red Sox win. We soak it in longer. And their loss, it hurts them longer. And I have a few Red Sox fans. And we were texting each other, tweeting each other during the game. 9-0. You know, you get a few jabs. Oh, this is great. They lose. They're furious. They're taking this like a playoff loss. And it's all compounded by the fact that they hate Bobby Valentine up there. And it's shocking. I don't like Bobby Valentine. He tries to be bigger than the game. But you know what? Listen, all that's on hold. We'll stop with the Yankee talk. We also have Mike Moustakas, the Royals third baseman. He's going to be on the show tomorrow. But I want to introduce our guest. So I always say I'm one of the biggest Yankee fans. The two seats in the state in my basement from the old stadium. But listen, if you ever watch a Yankee game on TV, or if you ever been to a game live, you've been fortunate enough to have witnessed one of the most unique and recognizable chants to start off a game. From the right field bleachers, you hear this man scream a player's name. The whole starting five, not the pitcher, not the catcher. And in unison, all of Section 203, formerly Section 39, chants along with him until the player recognizes them. One of the biggest fans I know, Uber fan, Bold Vinny. Bold Vinny, thank you. I'm honored to have you on the show. What's up, my man?
Hey, man, what's going on? Thanks for having me on.
Now, listen, I apologize the other night. Chris Canty came on and I had to bump you for a Super Bowl champion. I hope you understand that.
Oh, that's quite all right. Anybody who has a ring definitely takes precedence, without a doubt.
Of course. And we're actually, it's funny, I actually wanted to have you on. I was just talking about the Yankee game, how we down 9-0, one of the best wins we've had in years, especially doing it in Fenway.
Yeah, you know, nothing surprises me in Fenway. I think I've seen so much, crazy baseball that happens in the confines of that park, that really nothing surprises me. And to be completely honest with you, on Saturday I was busy doing a lot of family stuff, and I got to listen to it until about the fifth inning, and I was absolutely disgusted. I was so mad. I was miserable the whole time at the event, and then we left and went to dinner, and I got to dinner at the top of the night, and the restaurant I was in had closed captioning on the TV, so I couldn't really even see the score until they flashed it on the bottom, and I couldn't believe my eyes. Then, of course, I had to dial it up on the phone, catch all the recaps and the highlights, watch Swisher's Grand Slam. Again, that made me feel awesome. I absolutely love that. And then, you relive it. But nothing surprises me in Fenway, man. Anything can happen in that ballpark.
And, Vinny, you know, before I start the interview, it's so cliche. Oh, no leads ever safe in Fenway. They're up 9-0. I was just doing it right before you called in. They're up 9-0. I said, the Yankees going 50 in a row. Anytime you lose in Fenway, it hurts. So we're losing 9-0. It's 9-1, and then the Fox 5 goes to Phillip Umber's perfect game. So I'm like, okay, when this game's over, I'm going to go for a run or something. They put it back on. It's 9-5, and the Scherer's up, and the next pitch, he goes yard. So it's all of a sudden, it's 9-8, and you're glued, and what a win. And they're up 6-1 now. A-Rod just goes yard. This is one of those wins that can catapult you into a 12, maybe winning 13 out of 14, 14 out of 15. That's a huge win for them.
Well, you know, I think what's really important is it's starting to spark some guys up. You know, Teixeira is starting to hit the ball a little bit. His last 10 games, he's hit 3 home runs. He's driven in a bunch of runs. So, and he's an important part of our lineup. A-Rod going yard tonight, you know, it's important for these guys to be hitting well. And, you know, I'd rather they start now and get it out of the way and start getting in their groove and start piling up some wins. You know, really, baseball is a really long season. And anybody who's a fan knows that, yeah, no lead is safe, as cliche as it is. That's absolutely 100% true. I'm one of those guys who loves those weird stats about games, you know. I was at a game when the Yankees did interleague play out in Colorado many years ago. The Colorado Rockies scored 10 runs in one inning. and also went on to lose that game by 10 runs or more. And that was the first time in the history of baseball that any team had scored 10 runs in one inning and gone on to lose by 10 runs in the same game. So, yeah, no lead is ever safe. All that stuff is absolutely cliche, but it's all 100% true. You can never predict baseball and all that fun stuff. But that's why we're fans, you know. That's why we get behind the sport, because it's entertaining to us to watch. And we love things like that. And Yankee fans were going nuts on Saturday. Are you kidding me? My email, my Facebook, my stuff, my timeline on Twitter, people were blowing it up. Everybody was going after Bobby Valentine. And, you know, for Yankee fans, it feels good because we really haven't had a lot to say for, you know, the past couple of years. So and it's nice to get that rivalry stoked again and everybody's feeling real good about it.
And it doesn't hurt that our leadoff hitter now is 3-for-3, and he's batting .408. So that's not bad that Jeter's having a career year so far. That's awesome.
Man, am I so happy he got that 3,000 out of the way, because that was like the biggest weight lifted off his shoulder. He turned into a completely different hitter at the plate. And, it's great for us, man. You love having that spark at the top of the lineup. It gives Girardi a little bit of flexibility, especially with a guy like Gardner, who's, you know, unfortunately spending a little time on the DL right now. But when you have to shuffle that lineup up and you need a number one, number two, number three guy, and you can go between a Swisher, Gardner, and Jeter, you know, you have yourself a lot of options right there.
Well, now we have Andy come back tomorrow, pitching tomorrow, Wednesday in Trenton, which is great. All right, now, Vinny, everyone knows who you are. I'm beyond stoked to have you do this interview. So I just want to ask you a few generic questions. Describe the Bleacher Creatures to the audience. Everyone who listens is a sports fan. So just explain to the audience what it is.
So essentially, we're like the passion of Yankee Stadium. We're the loud, rowdy, sometimes borderline obnoxious fans. We come pretty much every night. There's a lot of season ticket holders that sit in the bleachers because it's an affordable ticket. You know, this year they're up to $20, and they raise our price, and it's still affordable, you know, compared to other parts of the stadium, or, you know, $20 for an evening entertainment regardless. But, you know, the Bleacher Creatures are the heart and soul of Yankee Stadium. We're the loud fans. We're the ones who are getting up when there's two strikes and two outs. We're the ones killing the wave every night because you should be paying attention to the game. That's who we are. Anytime and you don't necessarily have to sit in the bleachers to be a Bleacher Creature. You know, that's just because your ticket says you're there. We're really like a mindset. We're the hardcore fans, super passionate, watching every pitch on Twitter with every pitch. Can't get enough of our Yankees. That's the Bleacher Creatures.
Real quick, I'll show you how my dedication. We'll go back and forth. We're both diehard fans. My brother got married last year. My cousin's getting married this year. And they both know not to schedule the wedding in October because I would miss it. I'd miss a family wedding. And for the last 9 years of my profession, we get vacation picks. If I have the first pick, I'm the last week of October for the World Series.
Yep.
Now, Vinny, describe how the Bleacher Creatures started, and when did you – basically, how long have you been a member, and when did it start?
Sure. Essentially, our history goes back to the early 80s. There really was no group back then. It was just a bunch of people who used to like to hang out at the game together. And they were called the right field regulars just because they were the regular people that were there every day. We didn't really get the name until like the mid-90s when Phil Bondi from the Daily News started to write about us.
Yes.
And it was just occasional articles here and there, which then became, you know, a chronicle for him. And that's when we were dubbed the Bleacher Creatures. And from there, it kind of just took on a life of its own, you know, around 97 was when the roll call kind of kicked off. It was a, you know, weekday game against the White Sox, rather, and people were bored. And it was like we always had interaction with the outfielders because, you know, we're right there. We're in shouting distance. We're a loud group. So we've always had that kind of interaction. But that day somebody said, hey, do you think we can get Tino? and that's how it went, because Tino turned around and then they went around the horn, and that's kind of how it was born. I arrived the following year in 98 when I graduated college. I went to school in Hartford, Connecticut, and when I finally graduated and I was on my own, I went because it was a cheap ticket. But I started meeting, you know, some of the right people, and I started seeing some of the same faces, and I was attracted to the songs and the chants because everybody seemed to be having such a great time. And the thing back then was, like, nobody would tell you anything. You know, you didn't really get to know songs. There was no internet to look it up. You know, you couldn't go on our wiki page and find out, you know, the lyrics to things. Like, you knew by going to games. You know, you learn the lyrics by sitting there long enough you know, and you finally catch on, and then you can participate. Then people would see you participate, and they'd be like, oh, hey, who are you? You know, finally, that time, like, you broke into the group. So I remember, you know, one of the first guys I met was Sheriff Tom, who's an old-school Bleacher Creature. He's actually the guy who nicknamed me Bald Vinny, believe it or not.
Oh,
and,
that's cool.
Yeah, and you know, it's just weird how things go back. You know, I had seen him on the news one night. They did, like, a highlight of, like, this drunk Yankee fan, and it was Tom up on the bench dancing. And later on in the same broadcast, they had a story about a hero firefighter, and it happened to be Tom's brother. And I thought it was the funniest thing, like, this contrast. You have this hero firefighter and this drunk Yankee fan. And that's actually how I introduced myself. So I was like, oh, dude, I saw you on the news last night.
Now, Vinny, how did you start? You're the guy who screams out, and I actually have the clip queued up. I'll play it later on. ESPN last year, they zoomed in on you doing the roll call. How did you become the roll call guy?
Essentially, I was working at a dot-com in, like, 2000, 2001, and I got laid off. So I found myself with a lot of free time, and I was at a lot of Yankee games. And because I was there a lot, and you know, the guys who were doing it before me, whether they moved on to other jobs or just whatever situations, they just weren't able to make as many games. And I think just because I was the consistent one there, you know, that's kind of how I got the gig. And then, really, I created my business around that. You know, I started a T-shirt company out of my parents' basement because I wanted to be at every game. And that gave me an excuse to do – one gave me the excuse to do the other. You know, if I was there selling T-shirts, of course I was going to go inside and do roll call. If I'm doing roll call every night, I might as well, you know, try to launch a brand and sell some T-shirts.
Well, plug your website, first of all, because your website's awesome. I have two or three shirts from you, so just plug your website. We'll plug it the whole night, but just plug your website.
Sure. You know, if you're a Yankee fan and you're an original Bleacher Apparel, go to baldvinny.com, section203.com. It all goes to the same place. Check out our store. We specialize in apparel for the hardcore fan. You know, if you're a regular sports fan and you're just walking into Modell's looking for your first Derek Jeter jersey, you know, we're might be a little too advanced for you. We're kind of like your senior thesis, you know what I mean? Like,
you're right.
You have Yankee tattoos, you know, you open up your closet, everything's Yankee. You're my target market, you know what I mean? You go on your one vacation with those Yankees on the road, we should probably listen up because we have a lot to talk about.
Now listen, how surreal is it to be a part of Flip Bondi's book?
Oh, dude, the first of all the media stuff is crazy. I mean, that Bondi book was really the first taste, I guess, for me, because I was on the cover of it.
Yeah, you were.
it was huge for me because I have a business that I was trying to run, you know, and that really got me on the reality show with Yes.
Okay.
You know, Yes Network did in 2005. I was on the first season of Yes Network's Ultimate Road Trip, where four fans went to all 162 Yankee games in the 2005 season. And, you know, really that all, I guess that exposure came because of that book. You know, our group finally had some sort of recognition, and in a way we kind of became, like, I don't know if you want to call us more legitimate, even though there's really no card-carrying members of the Bleacher Creatures. You know, we don't really have an organization or a hierarchy. Nobody pays dues or any of that stuff. So it's really hard to define us as, like, being real, but I guess the book really put us on out as a group, you know, for public consumption. So that's really where I became, quote unquote, Bald Vinny. You know, where I, so, you know, that's became where the sunglasses all the time, you know, the goatee, the bald head, and that's kind of really how it all took off.
Now, Vinny, question: you guys sometimes get rowdy out there. How many times have you been ejected from Yankee Stadium?
Twice.
Oh, that's
twice.
It.
Once was on purpose.
Okay.
Why is
that?
Was on purpose because they had told us at one point in the old stadium that we weren't allowed to sing a specific song, but we all liked to sing it anyway. And everybody would got up and sang a verse, and everybody got thrown out one by one. And it was kind of like their way, our way of saying, you know, F you, we're going to do it tonight anyway. So everybody got up on a bench and did their verse at the top of their lungs and walked themselves out. So I got thrown out there once. And then another time, which is actually a great story, it was a day game at the old stadium. I had done box seat suck after roll call, and some sergeant threw me out. She had it was a female sergeant. I had never met her before.
Probably her first game.
It was her first game. She got mad and picked me out, threw me out. everybody went berserk. People are booing. Everybody's going nuts. I'm trying to talk to other cops that are there, that are regular stadium people, are all trying to talk to her. She's adamant about throwing me out. She throws me out. I go outside. Of course, I know a million people out there. Somebody gives me a ticket like 10 minutes later. I come back inside, try to sneak in. Of course, I can't sneak anywhere because the second somebody sees me, everybody goes nuts. This cop gets mad. She thinks I'm trying to show her up. She throws me out again. P.S., that night I had the best shit sales I've ever had in the stadium because everybody
really
wanted to come out. Right. So fast forward like 3 weeks later, this regular stadium guy, he's a detective out in Staten Island, comes up to me. He's like, dude, that sergeant from a couple of weeks ago is looking for you.
No.
She's looking for me. She's like, she's looking for you, and she's mad. What do you mean she's looking for me? She's mad. She's like, they found this picture on the internet. So I'm like, all right, so let me go track this lady down. So I find out the next time she's scheduled at the stadium. I go track her down. Sarge, what's the matter? She's like, did you see this picture? Somebody had posted the picture of her escorting me out of the stadium and posted it on their blog. And some other detective had seen it, copied it, printed it out, and drove all the way to her precinct and left it on her desk. She was all mad that some blogger had used a photo of her. I thought it was the funniest thing in the world. I asked her, and I still have it to this day, I made her sign it to me. I had her sign a copy of it, and I made her sign, two balls in, box seat suck. And she signed it, and for years it hung up in my office. It was great. But yeah, that was the only legit time I've ever been thrown out of the stadium.
Now, give me, obviously you're going to have a million, but I need you to pick one out. Your favorite, or it's a generic question. I'm just curious, as being a super fan, I have mine. I'm just curious, your all-time favorite Yankee moment and worst Yankee moment.
Does my favorite Yankee moment have to be a game?
Absolutely not. Just your favorite Yankee moment.
Okay, cool. My favorite Yankee moment of all time was definitely Hope Week 2010. Mm-hmm. The Yankees were kind enough to invite the Bleacher Creatures out to do a roll call for a group of disabled kids from Orange County called the Beautiful People. And we were literally the only fans in the stadium, along with these kids who were playing T-ball on the field with some of the Yankee stars. And then the Yankees were kind enough to invite us onto the field for lunch. And I actually sat at first base and had a cheeseburger. We got to run the bases and sit on the mound. It was really cool. So that experience alone was tops. Anytime you really get to kind of cross the line and experience the other side, those are the really cherry moments. And I've been fortunate enough to experience a few of those.
And your worst moment?
Worst 2004, without a doubt, every Yankee fan.
Without a doubt.
Sucks. Anytime you get bounced at home, it sucks.
And you know, about 2004, I read a ton of books. I read a ton of Yankee books. Whenever 2004 comes up, you get the feeling you don't even want to read it anymore. It's really one of the worst moments of my entire life. It really is.
That's the thing about that Phil Bondi book. Like, it was about 2004, and that ends on the shittiest note.
No, you charge me, man.
All right, sorry. It ends on the worst note. So, that 2004 was a rough year for Yankee fans.
All right, now listen, you have a great history besides the Yankee players. I know historically, isn't Vernon Wells like one of the coolest outfielders to play? He plays along with you guys the best.
Yeah.
Without
a doubt, because we have a long relationship with guys in the AL East. We see them a lot. And Wells has been around long enough, back when we used to road trip as a group, the Bleacher Creatures would go up to Toronto like 20, 30 deep, and we would sit in right field in Toronto, which was right behind the Yankee bullpen.
Uh-huh.
And we would bring our show on the road, so to speak. And we've had quite a few instances up in Toronto, especially. We actually had a game postponed because it wasn't our fault. First of all, it wasn't our fault. It was the Toronto Blue Jays' fault. They had just given out on a Sunday afternoon metal lunch boxes to all fans in attendance, and it happened to be a beautiful day. So the Sky Dome was open, and it took about like 10 seconds before somebody figured out that, hey, if you open up the lid of this metal lunchbox, you can get a flash. So when the Blue Jays were up, there was like this constant flashing coming from right field because everybody had the lunchbox open. So we were reflecting the sun into the batter's eyes. The umpire calls stop to the game. Canadian Mounties. They did not have horses, unfortunately, but the Canadian Mounties came to our section and ordered us to put the lunch boxes away and then sat there at our section for the remainder of the game to make sure we didn't touch them.
Hello?
Hey, Vinny, you there?
Yeah, what happened there?
Oh, dude, I'm sorry, man. My phone crapped out. All right, so I apologize. Go back to...
Don't sit there talking. I'm rambling on.
That's good. So there's no dead air. Yeah, my whole microphone system is actually shut down. Okay, so you're in Toronto. I'm sorry, go back to that story. I apologize.
So we're in Toronto, and it happened to be a very sunny day, and they gave away metal lunchboxes to all fans in attendance. And it took about 10 seconds before somebody realized that you can open up the metal lunch boxes and reflect the sun back into the batter's eyes. So while the first Toronto batters got up, everybody in right field was reflecting sun. They actually stopped the game, pulled everybody off the field, and the umpire sent the Mounties out to our section to make us put the lunch boxes under our seats, and then they were stationed there for the rest of the game to make sure we didn't touch them.
Like your little kid's punished.
Yeah, like we're like causing international incidents over here. Like we have the Mounties. They didn't bring horses. It would have been cool if they brought horses. But
you guys are in big time.
The Mounties came down to Brussels.
Now, Vinny, listen. Last year was a tough way to end the season, and then we go on your blog and we see that you're retiring. And really, you have to be surprised because you were trending on Twitter. Everyone was talking about it. Explain what happened. And why you got back into it, if you want to talk about your quote-unquote retirement. And then
sure,
how you
it
got
wasn't
back
really
into
a retirement. I mean, everybody says retirement, means you're going to sit at home on the couch for the rest of your life and just enjoy life. That's certainly not my case, you know. I chose a form of employment, which was starting a T-shirt company. You know, I have a brand that I put a lot of time and effort into, and I've been doing it for quite some time. And when I started it, my needs were different than what they are right now. And as a small business owner, it really wasn't going where I needed it to be without a little bit of assistance. And I was reaching out, and I have been reaching out for some sort of assistance. And it's not necessarily like a job or money or anything like that. I don't need any of that because I have a good business. Mm-hmm. I just need to take it past where I am. You know, I'm a solo operation. I run everything out of my own home. I pack all orders myself. I do all the marketing, promotion, inventory, accounting, and it's tough for me to grow my business past where I am. And to be honest with you, when I started it, I really didn't think I was going to be in it for this long. Because my original mission statement when I first started was to make the Bleacher Creatures a brand extension of the Yankee franchise. I legitimately think that we can be a good brand.
Without doubt.
That's always been the goal, and from the beginning, I've always thought, well, hey, if I can make this big and get a little bit of attention or get a little bit of media or get a little bit of draw, then the Yankees are going to come in and help me out. You know, whether it be licensing or something, you know, more explosion is really what I'd go for. I really don't care about the licensing. I just need to grow my business past being the guy on a corner selling T-shirts. And last year was a particularly rough year. You know, of 81 home games, we had 21 that were affected by rain.
Without a doubt.
And for a guy who stands outside and sells apparel with no covering or awning, that's a really tough year. So that gave me a really big hit. That put me in a really awkward spot where I didn't know if I was going to have the funds to, A, make it through the winter, or B, get the company started back up again. And not even in a big way, just like getting some stock and getting my van back on the road. So for me, I really spent the winter looking for another job. And for a while, it seemed like I didn't have much direction because I just wanted a job. I didn't really care what it was. I just don't want to be standing out on the corner selling T-shirts. But unfortunately, yeah, it's a tough job market out there, and I couldn't find something that I thought would sufficiently replace my current job. You know, I do have a good brand. It's still a legitimate T-shirt company. It may not be the best situation for me personally, like, I, again, standing out of the rain trying to sell T-shirts, but it's what I have, and it's what I put a lot into. So for me, it was kind of like sucking it up and realizing that, that this is what my career choice is, and it's kind of frustrating for me because, you know, the fact that I've been doing it for so long and I made such a stink about it, and nobody would return a phone call or an email, nobody at the F Network or the Yankees returned any phone calls or anything.
That was actually my next question. Are you surprised?
Sure, I mean, I don't talk about this stuff because if people want to know, they should know, because I'm a fan, I represent the fans, I'm all about, so if the fans want to know, the fans can know whatever they want. I mean,
cool.
I reached out to the contacts that I have, which are very limited, by the way. It's not like I have open dialogue with a lot of people on the team. I know a couple of people. I reached out. People didn't feel prudent to reach back. Nobody really wanted to. And like I said, it's not like I'm looking for anything. I wanted to talk and maybe bounce some ideas off some people and see where it can go, because I do think I have a good brand and I do think I have a good quote-unquote character. And my relationship with the fans is important, and I think that it should be past where it is. But like I said, I'm alone. I'm having a hard time reaching those goals. So, yeah, that's kind of really what it is. That's the hard part about coming back, is knowing that pretty much what my ultimate goal is seems to be out of reach because of whatever reason. At this point, I would rather somebody just say no because. You know, you guys are too this, no, you're too that, or no because of this, but the fact that they haven't said anything makes it especially difficult.
Yeah, it makes it tough. Now, listen, if you can tell me one more thing, I spoke to you about it the other day, but can you tell the listeners, because a few people texted me, and make sure you ask Vinny, about the controversy with the Nick Swisher shirts from last year?
Sure. I made a shirt with the Swisher salute. It was something that I came up with because he was new, and like, you got to think about Swisher's really how he got really in with us. If Xavier Nady didn't go down with an injury,
yep.
Nick Swisher, you never would have heard of Nick Swisher. You know, but he came in and he was hit it off with fans because he's exciting and he's fun to watch, and he was going all out in the field, and everybody wanted something of his, and they weren't making name and number shirts for him, and there was nothing around, so I came up with the Swisher salute shirt because of what he does during roll call.
Mm-hmm.
And it was something I was putting out. He dug it. I had given him several dozen. He had asked for them. He loved them. And then, like, towards the end of the year, all of a sudden there's an official one released by Majestic that was available in Modell's. Obviously, I called BS because it was BS. It's something I created and set the wheels in motion and essentially found out that the trademark for the term Swisher Salute was registered to Nick. Or to him by his people. I took umbrage to that because obviously it was something I created, but we had spoken about it and kind of smoothed it out. And really, what it boils down to is that the players sign away their likeness and their name and whatever to MLB and the players' union, and the players' union and MLB claims right to everything related to any ball player. So if you have a nickname that's associated with a player, for example, the nickname Big Poppy, according to MLB, you're not supposed to use that name in any capacity because they own that, because they own David Ortiz. That's how MLB works. So, essentially, from my standpoint, I would have to go after Nick in order to obtain the copyright first, which I had no desire to do, because that's not what I'm about. I'm not going after our right fielder. That's not us. You know what I mean?
Of course not.
You could have it at that point. I really don't care. I would have to go after him first, then I would have to go after MLB. By the time that stuff was resolved, number one, I'd be dead broke, and Swisher would be playing in Pittsburgh. You know what I mean? So we had really come to the agreement where he gave me permission to sell, which obviously was very nice of him to give me permission to sell something I created. But I got permission to sell the shirts, and the other ones kind of died off because of the public heat, because I was on page 3 of the Post, and everybody knew that it was mine, and that they took something from me. And, you know, my beef was with it was, well, hey, you know, if you're that starving for ideas, hire me, because I'm a great t-shirt designer. You know,
yeah, you are.
I think I'm in touch with the fans, and I know what fans are looking for, and I think that's been the key to my success, and is that I have the capability to design something and get it to market quickly. You know, I started printing in my basement by hand, so I had the ability to do stuff overnight, basically. Like, well, that whole, remember the big Pedro's Who's Your Daddy thing?
Of course.
That happened on my birthday that year, and I was at dinner with my wife, who is then my girlfriend, and I was like, oh, my God, I have to go make a shirt. She's like, now? You know what I mean? And I literally went home that night, printed out the graphic, and then 2 days later, and it worked out well because I literally pulled up to the stadium. At that time, I was at Stan Sports Bar. I pulled up on the stadium at 158, and I literally opened up my trunk, and people were already swarming the car. They're like, what do you got, what do you got, what do you got, what do you got, what do you got? You know what I mean? Because they knew that I'd be the only one who could turn it around that fast. And I think, you know, that's kind of a benefit for me not having to deal with MLB red tape.
Of course.
That's why I said earlier, you know, licensing isn't the be-all, end-all for me. You know, that would certainly help because that can get me some distribution and I can get my brand into other stores. That would be great. But really just plain exposure to my brand and, you know, sure, it's not licensed, but you know what? It's attractive to the Yankee fans that are, you know, savvy and smart and a little edgy. And, you know, not everybody's going to walk around with a frozen Ted Williams head on a popsicle stick, you know, but those guys do, you know, you're my people.
Now, Vinny, here's what I want to do. I want to, the guy who usually co-hosts with me, his name's Chuck, he's out tonight. He's like, tell Vinny I want to interview him again in like a week or two, so I want to have you back on. I want to ask you a couple more questions. And I'm always curious with this because I go to a ton of games also. Being in the bleachers, do you like, now, not are you like a fan more of opening day or a Mets game, a Red Sox game, do you like those bigger games or do you like the game when it's just a Tuesday night game against the Twins, like when I saw you, or it's a Wednesday night game? What do you prefer better in the Bleacher Creatures? Do you guys like
the
game?
I like them both. I like them both. I like those big games because for me, especially during roll call, it's less work because people are there, they're amped up, they're ready to be loud, man. That's so fun. That's so contagious, man. And you just love that. I just love that stuff. Those are great. But those other nights where it's slow, quiet, the bleachers are half empty, those are the nights where I go home and my face hurts because I'm laughing so much. You know, because we're our own entertainment out there. You know, we've known each other for a really long time. There's a lot of inside jokes. There's a lot of stuff going on out there that it's just fun and makes you feel at home. It's like watching a game in your living room, except the living room's in section 203.
That's awesome. Now, Vinny, do me a favor real quick. You have awesome shirts, section203.com. I'm telling you, I have two or three of your shirts. They're awesome. Explain how lucky you've been for the self-endorsement that Bobby Valentine is doing for you. Tell them about the shirt that you have for Valentine and how great is that shirt selling.
Wow, man, I'll tell you, it's funny when things like work out like that. You know, I come up with a shirt over the winter, and I work with a really, really talented artist. His name is Craig Mahoney. If you guys are on Twitter, definitely follow him at Craig Mahoney. He's on Facebook as well. He does a lot of my artwork. He did the Frozen Ted Williams. He did my
I have one of those shirts.
Shirt.
Great.
He's really phenomenal. There's only so many guys you can go up to and say, hey, can you draw a frozen Ted Williams head on a popsicle stick and have somebody nail it? So I had gone to him and I said, look, I have this idea. And I was tossing around two ideas. It was really the toss-up between what I went with, which is what Ashcon, it's always made me laugh. It's just one of those dumb things that I find funny. And I was toying with the phrase, like, oh, the circus in Boston has got a new ringleader or a new head clown. So I was like, oh, can you draw, like, a Bobby Valentine clown for me? We went back a little bit. Like, you got to have the nose, you know. It's got to look like them, but not too much like them. I don't want to get sued. And then, like, literally at the last minute, I was like, all right, I'm going with the term ass clown. Because he just is, you know. Like, he just, every word out of his mouth. I think around that time was when those quotes started coming out about, he doesn't, you know, consider us a threat, and there's no rivalry, and you just, you know, stick his foot in his mouth. So, I'm like, this will be a great time. Little did I know, that this guy is going to turn out to be a legitimate ass clown. And if I told you Saturday night, Friday night and Saturday night, I got about, say, 36 orders for those shirts, 70% of them went to New England.
Went to where?
Went to New England.
How awesome is that?
Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Connecticut. That's great. That's great. I really have to thank my buddies who went up there for the weekend, because those guys wear them around. And those are the guys who really showed them off, because, you know, the internet is cool, Twitter is great, but the on-site, when you're at a stadium and you see something, you're like, oh, my God, that's awesome. Where'd you get that? That's how I built my business, and that's really what I live off of. So those guys who go to the stadiums, wear my stuff, I appreciate that more. Those are the guys who sold those shirts for me.
Listen, Vinny, that's awesome. Listen, here's I got a little surprise for you. So I'm actually really good friends with Chris Canty from the Giants. So
okay.
He comes on and he does – what?
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm just texting him like 2 minutes ago. He's doing a celebrity golf tournament. But I just asked him. I said, listen, do me a favor. He's going to actually retweet – he's going to tweet your website, and he's going to try to get a picture because I have a ton of your shirts. He's going to hold up one of your shirts in his picture on Twitter, and he's going to put it on his Twitter for you.
That would be awesome, man. Tell him if he wants anything. I'll be more than happy to send them out. You know, we love the support, especially from our hometown sports fans, you know. So anything you guys need, I'm happy to provide. You know, I certainly appreciate you having me on, man. I hope some of you guys check out my stuff. And if you like cheering on the Yankees and making a lot of points, come hang out in Section 203, man. We have a lot of fun out there. It's really a blast, and you guys should definitely come check it out.
Yeah, listen, I'm going to piggyback on that. If you never experienced it, or if you've been to 50 Yankee games, 100 games, go to StubHub, buy a ticket in 203. I've done it a lot. It's an experience. It's
do it once. Just do it once because it's fun. You know? You'll wind up doing it again after that, but do it once the first time, and then you're hooked. Every day people come up to me and say, you know, I've never been out here before, but I'm never sitting anywhere else again. This is the most fun.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we don't care if you get up on the bench and yell. You know, you do that in the box seats, they look at you and you have 12 heads. You know,
exactly.
You want to get up and just yell, you suck! You know, yeah, man, go for it.
And now, Vinny, let me explain one other thing, too. When you go to 203, yeah, you guys been there forever, but you don't, like, ostracize everybody. Anyone who comes is a huge fan. So I don't want anyone to think, oh, I've never been to bleachers, I don't know what to yell. You sit there, you're one big family out there. It's phenomenal
out
there.
Yeah. They're, we can sniff out the real fans from the fake fans. You know, we get on Saturday and Sunday afternoons, that's the toughest because you got a lot of tourists who come in. The secondary market's made it really easy for tickets to be available, especially last minute. You know, back in the day, your only option was coming out and finding somebody on the street. So, you know, tickets are a lot more available. We try to sniff out the tourists from the real fan. And, I you know, most of us have a pretty good nose. We can detect it. From far away. So if you're a real fan, you should have no fear coming out with us. We're family. You'll fit in fine because Yankee fans are like that. You know what I mean? You run into Yankee fans on a road trip or anywhere, you find that kinship because we all root for the Yankees, and that's really what the Bleacher Creatures were founded on. You know, we have things in common outside of the stadium, sure. And there are people who do and people who don't, and people who hang out with each other and people who don't, but we're all tied together by the Yankees. So if you share that with us, come hang out. You'll have some fun.
Awesome. Listen, Vinny, I want to thank you so much for coming on Section 203. I'm going to plug it whenever I do a show. I'm working there Friday and Monday. I'll come by and see you. And all kidding aside, I want to have you on in a couple of weeks when my boy Chuck does a show. I want to have you on one more time. Is that cool?
My pleasure, man. Anytime you want, man. I love talking baseball. I love chatting. So, yeah,
awesome,
I'm down. Anytime,
I had a blast,
definitely come
man.
See me anytime you're at the stadium. All you peeps who listen, you come out to the stadium, I'm right outside of Billy's Sports Bar, right on River Avenue, under the Apple Bank sign, right by the train platform. You can't miss me. Come check us out, ballvinny.com, section203.com. Follow me on Twitter, ballvinny. All that fun stuff, man. Come check us out.
Vinny, I'll see you Friday night, my man. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, man. I'll see you Friday.
See you, buddy. Bald Vinny, man. Awesome guest. He is, listen to me, if you go to the stadium, you got to buy his shirts. They're hilarious. It is an experience out there. And I was going to end the show with a little, I'm going to end it with his one cheer of Curtis Granderson. You'll see what it's all about. Thank you for listening to the Good Life Radio Show. Bald Vinny is awesome, man. Buy his shit. Here is Bald Vinny right now.
the Yankees acknowledge.